Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jim, do you see that in your future as an honorary starter for a golf tournament?
Yeah, I'd fit right in with those guys. No, not even a tournament around here. Maybe at some point. The honorary starter for the Moon Open.
Yes.
Something along those lines.
Yeah. Why not?
Right. When they put me out.
That's kind of a good idea for this year's Moon Open. Jim, you and I help MC a golf tournament every summer. You could easily do an honorary first tee. Yes, you could easily be the guy doing an honorary first tee shot. You could say, gambling is illegal at Bushwoods, and I never slice.
Oh, I always slice. That's the difference, and I admit it. I guess that could happen. The Crowland outing this year, I believe it's in June, Chris, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It
Jim,
is.
How many years of golf do you think you have left?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. How long? 20?
That's pretty good.
Well, I like that answer.
I'm thinking that I'd say at least a good 10 to 15. Once I turn 80, but once you make it that far, then why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And golf is the beauty of golf is that even as, I'd be like Mr. Haverkamp, I guess, if we're making all the Caddyshack references. Although I don't know if Linda would play like Mrs. Haverkamp. But anyway, it's one of those things what's great about it is that, I can play golf with my kids. My kids are your guys' age. It's fun. Can they hit it farther? Yeah. Are they better than I am? Yeah. But, who cares? I mean, if I want to now, I can pull I'm 65, man. I can pull the gold tees on them anytime I want.
Ooh. Jim, how about the
Jim, do you think of us as Jim, do you think of us as your surrogate radio kids, kind of like you've taken Pony and I under your wing to some degree in this business?
Not really. You Chris. No. Hang on a minute. You more so than Andrew, because I've known you longer. And I met you when you were really a neophyte, right?
Oh.
I mean, you were
in
terms of the business. I also think that you and I have, this dates back not to ESPN, but dating back to when The Fan first launched, and you were doing like the real overnight show, and I would come in early, and we'd just kind of vamp for 20 minutes before I started, working. And I don't know, I always thought that you and I had a lot in common in that regard. And then Andrew, I would say no, because he'd already established himself as a radio up and comer, and not that you needed mentorship from me or anything like that, but I just always felt that kind of relationship. And Andrew certainly didn't need my help. He's well on his way. I mean, he's like a national name now. So Andrew and then Giannotti was kind of in that same vein. Although I know when, Greg was new in town and stuff like that, he was really good about, and Andrew's good about this too. And that's one of the reasons those guys were so good in this market is that they came in and knew what they did not know. And they asked questions, they got to know people, and they did their work. And there are other people that started at the station who were not from here who did not do that. And they're no longer working with us.
Jim, here's one for you based on the Pirates' start to the season. If Linda's life were on the line, and you had to pick one of these Pirates starting pitchers to win a game to save her life, who would you go with?
Oh boy.
And you can't say Brault. You can't say Brault. It's got to be someone in the rotation right now.
I have my name in my mind, Jim.
Quite honestly, I would still pick Brault, even though he's not able to throw right now. Boy, that is a very, very difficult question. The guy that I think is the best right now, even though he didn't show it his first time out, is Brubaker. I just think he's the lesser right now of five evils.
That was the name I had in mind. It's weird that Pony asked you that to start off, because I went and I looked at, like, I was trying to find a through line from their first five games, right? And they win the first game, and that's nice. The starting pitching has just—it was my biggest concern about them heading into the season, and it has underperformed even my non-existent expectations. I mean, it has been astonishingly bad in that department, Jim.
Well, you know, here's something that I was. You tell me, okay? Going into the season, I'm going to give you three choices of what was going to be the worst part of the Pirates in 2021. Was it going to be the starting pitching, which it is? But would it be the pitching? Would it be the hitting? Or would it be defense? And they're woefully deficient in all three of those departments. Mm-hmm. And you know, today they hit a grand slam. Good for Eric Gonzalez. I'm happy for him, his first career grand slam. But it's like, you know, too little, too late, and it's a nice moment. Just like it was a fun moment when Philip Evans, you know, hit a home run early on in the game, and then he ends up pitching a 1-2-3 inning on five pitches because they're down 14-0. You know, and that's a feel-good moment. Maybe something we can take into the next game. And, you know, all that lasted was as long as that guy that I'd really never heard of started hitting home run, get another home run. It's just, you know, everything that could go wrong will. And it's already, we're six games into the season, and I'm, you know, eavesdropping pretty much. I was working on a Penguins story, but I was eavesdropping on Derek Shelton in the post game, and I also heard him with Ron and Joe earlier.
Yeah.
And it's like, what can you ask this guy that is any kind of a positive takeaway about what's happening? And you can't. There's nothing.
Well, don't you think
what was stunning? Ahead, Hold on. You know what was stunning to me about this Red Series? And maybe you knew this, Jim. I just saw somebody tweet it out. The only two Pirates pitchers to appear in this series who did not allow a run were Richard Rodriguez, who faced one batter, and Philip Evans. That's it. Every other pitcher that took the mound gave up at least one run. That is, it's just, I don't know, it kind of
beggars
belief.
What are you saying about Evans?
That
you want
actually
to turn him into Shohei Ohtani? Is that what?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know.
But I'm with you, Jim. In the sense that it's hard to ask Shelton anything that you could, like, what are you, you're five or six games in now, I should say, and it's very difficult to ask him anything that doesn't just feel like a really depressing sort of question.
This has gone back for a number of years, and obviously the Reds did have some very good teams. You know, they obviously the wild card game at PNC Park, and they've had some guys who can hit, especially in that ballpark. I don't understand how they don't win more games with that lineup that they have, and maybe it's just that they do it against the Pirates. I don't know, but it seems like they've got these guys. Castellanos is going to hit a home run in every game he plays against the Pirates this year, so at least he's going to hit 18 homers, And I honestly don't. And then tomorrow you got the Cubs, and that's another team that, you know, they're not supposed to be that good this year. And yet you look at the lineup that they trot out there with some of the hitters that they have, and you're like, what? These guys aren't any good. And those guys are still really good players. It's just who's telling you? Anderson's pitching tomorrow, lefty at PNC. Maybe he'll be able to do something. He had the best start, right, of the pitchers.
He actually went five innings.
Yeah, and, you know, Chad Kuhl, it's like, what do you do today? The first inning was a mess, and it's a little leadoff homer. Then there's an error.
I've never understood where the hoopla for him. I just have not, even this offseason, I just don't. He's not young. He's never had a good year.
It's because he can throw very hard. I can give you the answer. It's because he can throw 100.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Colin Dunlap has always said that I think I first heard this from him maybe a couple of years ago, and this is especially in light of coming back from surgeries. They said, why not make him a closer? Now, that doesn't, what happened today, you know, giving up a leadoff homer, that doesn't suggest, I mean, you know, that doesn't translate to being a closer. But I think with the stuff that he has, and if you only have to sustain it for an inning, and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, today, you know, Bednar, he was flawless, and then today he allows two bombs. And yet one of them was a great, you know, a not so great American ballpark homer. The other one, though, was a bomb. I don't know. It just, you know, no matter what they do here, and yet I heard Stark, maybe I mentioned this to you guys the other day. It's like I heard Starkey say something. It's, you know, because everybody's complaining about Polanco, who had another great game today. And it's like Joe said, maybe he's doing what he's supposed to do, is just go there and bat under 100 and make sure that the Pirates lose as many games as they can so they get one of the Vanderbilt pitchers.
I don't think that there's going to be too much worry after the first six games that they're going to get one of those guys. The Polanco thing, though, is, you know what that is? You know what's tough about the Polanco thing, Jim? It's he is a microcosm from a position player standpoint of everything they weren't able to do under the previous regime, and also how they have to get it right with guys that have his basic raw physical talent. Like, they have to tap everything they can out of that well, and they did the exact opposite with him.
Well, and Chris, the problem is, and I mean, you guys have seen this, is that the problem with Polanco is that he's got raw physical talent, but he never learned how to slide. And that cost him, I think, at least two injuries, and or maybe three if you take into account there was a, you know, an outfield play. And today there was almost another collision involving Polanco. It's just, and he, in that case, he really can't get out of his own way sometimes. You know, and another, just to circle back to pitching here for a second, is that Mitch Keller, you know, it's looking like this regime can't figure out how to fix him either. You know, at some point, I always come back to the player. You know, it's up to the player to perform here. You know, you don't get to this level completely by accident, and then at some point you got to man up, and you've got to. And you've got to pitch and not be afraid. I heard, was it Carson's with you guys the other day?
Yep.
It's like guys, even the best hitter is only going to hit against you 35% of the time. And the other 65% of the time, if you're a pitcher, you're going to get the guy out. Or at least you should. And it should be more often than that. It should be more like 75% of the time that you're going to have the edge over even a decent hitter. And yet it's almost like sometimes these guys are afraid to throw the ball into the strike zone for fear of what's going to happen instead of pitching. You know, they're living in their fears, I guess, if we can cross sports.
Jim, New York State has legalized marijuana. If the same thing happens here, will you and Linda consider it? Would maybe a gummy? Would you at least try it? No?
Probably not.
Why?
I don't know. I just, it doesn't appeal to me. You know, I had
Jim's high on life, Pony.
Yeah, and also, you know, natties and Bud Lights and stuff like that. But I don't think I'd go for it.
Now, was there a negative experience years back that has spooked you? And
well, I've told the FUBAR story a number of years. Is that Sandy Miller was my fraternity brother. FUBAR was his nickname, which stands for fouled up beyond all recognition. The F was different. You know, it's a World War II term. My dad used to use it. But anyway, Foobs, his whole goal was to get me high. And finally one night I was so blitzed from beers at Scorpio's that I said, okay, Foobs, I came back to the house early. There was nobody around except him. He's like sitting there in his usual stone state. I said, okay, Foobs, I said, go ahead, go get your stuff. I said, I said, you can get me high.
Yep.
And he came back with all sorts of paraphernalia. I hope my kids aren't listening, although they may know this story. With all this paraphernalia, I mean, we're talking about joints, about bongs, carburetors, brownies, all this stuff. And the thing is that it had absolutely no effect on me, none, because I was already kind of gone. And
I was going to say, might that have to do with the Scorpio's factor earlier in the evening?
Yes. And I don't know why I came back by myself. I don't know if I had, this is pre-Linda, by the way.
Man, Scorpio sounds like the place to be. Scorpio sounds like a hangout.
If you look at, I think it's my Facebook, there's a Facebook photo that shows a young me and a young Linda. who looks exactly the same as she does now, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Good job there.
That's at Scorpios.
Does Casey DeSmith know about Scorpios?
It's no longer there. I can't remember if we had that discussion or not. And, you know, I may never speak to Casey face-to-face again, you know, the way things are these days. But there's a place called Scorpions, which is a different place. No, Scorpios was, I think it's a laundry.
Wait a minute. There was a place on the New Hampshire campus called Scorpions and a place called Scorpios?
No, Scorpion surfaced. I saw that. We went back for homecoming,
uh-huh.
And it was a different place. And somebody said, oh, yeah, Scorps. That's not Scorps. I mean, come on. But, you know, I sound like the old guy who went to school there in the 70s, which is, I guess, what I was and what I am. So that's my experience. I don't know about the gummies. You know, the thing is, they probably taste good.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
I've been told that they do, Jim, but I wouldn't know firsthand. But I've been told that they're sweet and fruity.
Oh, by the way, I have some news.
Okay.
Involving a client. Because was it you guys that suggested I needed a chair?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, for the out-of-office report brought to you by Tri-State Office
Furniture.
Like
a nice leather chair,
Thank you for reminding me.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Is that I heard today from Ed Meyer, who apparently runs everything at Tri-State Office Equipment. And my plan is to go see him tomorrow.
Let's go!
He said he's going to – hang on. Hang on. Who's your friend? He also said that you guys could get chairs too.
Woo! Okay!
Yeah!
Here we go!
Let's go!
This is huge. So – I'm actually going to be in studio tomorrow between 8 and 10 because it's sort of on my way to the Pirate game a little while after. And then so when I leave the station, before I go to PNC Park, I plan to detour to Tri-State and see what they have. And he texted me.
Oh, baby.
What's his name again? Mr. what? Mr. where?
Ed Meyer.
Ed Meyer?
Ed Meyer, yeah.
You let Ed Meyer know that we're big fans of his. And we're just delighted and honored and humbled that we even get to mention his business on our airwaves. You let him know that.
And that we're thrilled that he was listening, apparently, too.
Yes, even better.
Yeah, I think he's probably listening right now. But, Andrew, that was very Ron Cook of you, the way that you did that. Yeah. So I think that's true.
I'll have him meet me at Domenico's.
Obviously, we have a lot of great clients. A lot of our clients, and that's, you know, it's great. We have great relationships with a lot of our clients, all of our clients. You know, and he's going over and above here, so I think that's pretty cool. I'll do a scouting mission tomorrow, and I'll fill you guys in.
All right. Yeah, let him know we want the whole schmear.
That's right. Yeah, that chair looks good on you, though.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. See you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.